We're Michael and Amy, your couples connection coaches. Our mission is to help couples thrive using a conscious and holistic approach. This podcast is for couples and singles who want to unlock their relationship potential and reconnect on a deeper, more meaningful soul level. We share insights, client breakthroughs, and personal stories to help move your relationship from surviving to thriving.
We've got a treat for you today, listeners. We have a somatic sex educator, a sexological body worker, and a birth keeper who works with women and couples and holds monthly workshops in women's circles on her property in Armidale, New South Wales. Kimberly Vita Rose has a background in midwifery, naturopathy, and nutritional medicine, which gives her the skills to work with people in a naturally holistic way. Through her own lived experience embodying her sexuality and releasing layers of shame, Kimberly delights in offering this space for clients. Kimberly teaches different somatic practices in her sessions to gain a deeper connection to the body, to discover true desires and communicate them with ease. With these fundamentals, her clients find they experience more joy, more pleasure, and more power in many facets of their lives, not just in their relationships. This episode is absolutely worth listening right to the end. Enjoy this one. All right. So we have Kimberly on the show. And Amy and I met Kim through, we were going on our travels actually, in the caravan. And we just got this message out of the blue from somebody who we saw was a sexologist in Armidale, New South Wales. And she was just curious about what it is we do. Are we local? And from there, we ended up just kind of hitting it off and realizing there's a really nice crossover of what we're, you know, speaking about and our passions and her passions as well. And it actually happened perfectly at the right time, because we really were feeling the need to explore this topic around sex and sexual shame and somatic work and things like that. So it was just absolutely perfect timing. So I want to welcome you onto the podcast. It's episode number 21. So welcome, Kim.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. It was such a synchronicities of seeing you drive by and seeing your logo on the side of your car. And I thought, oh, I'm going to reach out and obviously see if you're local, because it's great to network with people that have similar passions. But yeah, I love where it's brought us today.
It's beautiful. So just so the listeners can get a little bit of an idea about what it is that you actually do, can you give us a bit of an insight into your genius and your expertise?
Yeah. So I'd start by saying, like, I have a background in midwifery. So I've worked with women for a lot of, I guess, my career. And through my own personal experiences, I think I came to the thread of sexuality and realized that it was such an area of growth for me. What I do now, so I'm a certified, it's lots of different ways of saying it. So I'm a certified somatic sex educator. They also call it sexological body worker or somatic sexologist. So essentially it's about learning about sex and pleasure through the felt sense in the body. I'm, you know, it's a client-led modality. We're trauma-informed. We're licensed to do hands-on and hands-in body work. We kind of, I guess there's all the little pieces that we can do in our modality, is like touching on consent and boundaries. And we also do scar remediation work, which also pairs beautifully with my midwifery. The modality, like the things that I find that we work with people around, like, it just opens up so much around, yeah, releasing layers of our shame, opening up communication with others. A lot of it's nervous system work as well, of like, how can we come back into our bodies, release that fight, flight, or freeze, and start to, you know, if there's numbness, it's awakening the body. And how do we start to connect deeper to ourselves and feel like, what is it that I desire? What is it that I'm wanting? What is it that I'm needing? How can I communicate that? How can I speak louder with my yeses, my noes? all that sort of stuff.
Amazing. Yeah, thanks, Kimberly. I'm curious to know kind of how you went from midwifery into that path. Like what was that journey for you about, if that's okay to share?
Yeah. I mean, fundamentally, it's how I came about. So I left a 10-year relationship and my career of 10 years all at the same time. It was around that 30-year age mark, which they say, you know, your Saturn return, where you stop and look at your life and think, is this the life that I want to be living? Is this the person that I am? And when I left that relationship, I vowed to myself to do all of the work to deepen that connection to myself, to love and honor myself, to attract someone into my life that would love and honor me that way as well. And when I came to the edge of sexuality, I realized that that was an area that was a real edge for me, and that I had a lot of layers of shame around that as well. Had a lot of numbness in my body as well. And what I've realized is the amount of years that myself, and probably many women can relate, that we say yes to opening up our body to partners or not partners, when our body is actually screaming no. And the amount of times that we do that, how that can shut off the body from sensation. So journeying through, like I did a lot of like tantra retreats and workshops and sort of big like week-long events where we would journey into the body and start to awaken those things and express and so increase sensation myself, getting more confident with my yeses, my noes, what is it I want to feel. And this is why I love talking to you guys as well, is because I am in my second marriage and it's coming up to 5 to 7 years that we've been together. And I see as well these little tendrils of like, how can I communicate things better with him? How can I express my desires? How can we come together when we have been together for that amount of time that things start to feel quite comfortable? I see how I'm kind of using a lot of my modality even in my own life as well.
Amazing. Yeah.
It is amazing that you can, and we, you know, mirror a similar thing in that the work that we're doing with couples, we obviously mirror back to ourselves. And so the journey of growth, is with us just as it is with our clients. It's just that some of us are at different stages, you know, at different levels, and none of us are ever going to be at the same point or the same level. But for what you were saying, like releasing shame, and you've been on this process of releasing shame, how does someone actually identify and even start with knowing if they've, you know, if they're under a cloud of some sort of shame? Because I think like a lot of us don't really know, we just exist, we just think that this is normal.
So I would say, how comfortable are you sitting there and saying sex? How comfortable are you saying the word pleasure? I noticed even my discomfort, even saying the word pleasure, and it's like, it doesn't even have to be sexual pleasure, but how much shame do you feel around feeling pleasure in your body? Yeah. Can we name our genitals? Can we sit there and say vulva, vagina, pussy, any of that without, like I even feel even still, like I can feel the hairs raising on my skin and I can feel goosebumps. And I know that there's still layers there of, speaking these things. And so I would say, like, how comfortable are you even just speaking the words and notice the sensations in the body when you do?
Isn't that such a simple way to identify it?
So powerful. I mean,
both
too.
Of us felt that then.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah.
And even though like we've been on a journey of really like, you know, I guess really diving into our own pleasure in that space so much more than we ever have. We've been together for 20 years and things are really, really good now with us sexually. But big but, we still have layers of shame to clear out too. And I think society plays a big part in this, doesn't it? You know, and then previous generations and what they shamed and what was taboo.
So a lot of it I mean, we can't blame religion for everything, but I guess a lot of people brought up in religious households, there are that teaching that, you know, sex is for procreation. And other than that, like, you're dirty, naughty, or, you know, that's where a lot of the conditioning can come from. But I was sitting with, when we were talking about what we would discuss and the whole society and shame, I've got a book I'm reading at the moment, and it was only 100 years ago that we didn't even know about women's anatomy. The vagina, and I believe it's the word vagina, has the meaning sheath. So essentially, like, it's there just for a penis to enter, and that's it. And that they didn't even have an understanding that women could experience pleasure. And I've actually sat here, like, I've got my little model of vulva, and so the outside external genitalia is called the vulva. But the clitoris, which is the little gold and yellow bit we see here that we thought was only this little nub, is actually like this big.
Wow.
It has legs. Yeah. It's like inches long. It has bulbs. Women actually have a network of erectile tissue. We can be engorged and aroused also.
Yeah.
If we have this knowledge, like, it just changes how we relate so much. So, yeah, that was only 100 years ago that we didn't even know that. And I think in the book it was one of the doctors would prescribe us some kind of acid to place on the woman so that she wouldn't self-pleasure anymore. Like, there was horrible barbaric things that have happened. And so that lives within us. That lives through the generations.
Yeah, I didn't realize. That's just blown me away as well. You know, and that, I find that so fascinating as a woman, not knowing much at all about my own body, you know. And I'm sure most women can relate. We're just so disconnected from with our clients. We share a little bit more about the cycle and you know, how you're feeling with your hormones and stuff like that. Even that alone is so, like, not spoken about, you know, in relationships, let alone the sex part. So it's kind of like, gosh, we've got so much to kind of uncover and pull back, and which is exciting in a way, but it's also so interesting how much of that has been shut down and hidden, or, like you said, you know, not even spoken about. So yeah, it's exciting for me because I'm like, right, what else do I need to learn? And you know, I get excited, but yeah.
And Kim, I'm curious about, you were saying fight or flight, and how we're in that kind of, I guess, that, you know, that protective state, and how that actually shuts down our body over a period of time, or our feeling, what do you say, feeling senses, or that sensation that we might experience. I totally think that is such a powerful thing to communicate, because so many of us are under a cloud of stress, and we've been like that. We've normalized that experience. And I think I know from our experience that it's only when Amy is able to drop into her feminine flow, which is more of a relaxed, open state where she's receiving, that can only really happen when she is relaxed and in a safe environment, right? So for someone who often experiences high levels of stress, how does this journey sort of begin? You know, what's some ways that we can kind of begin to open up to this whole realm? Obviously, you went to, you know, week-long tantra retreats, but, you know, for the average person, like, how do we just start this process?
Yeah, I mean, it can be minutes a day. And I guess if the person is identifying that they've got a high stress lifestyle, it's also choosing what of this are they willing to let go of, and what do they want to keep? Yeah. You know, there's so much of our lifestyle that would benefit from just slowing down and just reframing and changing things the way we do things. But it could just be a 5 to 10 minute practice each day of just stopping and breathing and noticing in the body. So somatically, what connects us to the body is using our breath.
Yeah.
Using noise. So sighing on the exhale. Movement, you know, the gentle movements of the body, and placement of awareness. So that can be like, if I quieten down right now, what sensations do I notice in my body? And someone might name, oh, I've got pain in the back, or there's sadness in my chest, but can we actually find it down and tune into, oh, that feels heavy. Oh, no, there's a tingling there. Like, can we really find the descriptive words to really come into it more and find that body and describe it with those words, because that has us tuning more into it. There would even be, even in your day-to-day life, if you're out doing chores and you've just hopped in the car and putting the seatbelt on, just take a breath. You know, just taking a breath. What do I notice in my body? And just inviting that more into day-to-day.
Yeah, that's so simple yet so powerful, because we don't do it. You know, we're always in our heads, right? We're busy in our heads up here, living like 90% of the time up here. We're like, oh, this is right. We've got this body as well. Like, you know, how do we integrate and find connection again to this body that we've disconnected from ultimately? So that's beautiful, simple practice of taking a breath, tuning in and checking in. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Great. You know, we spoke a little bit about safety before, and you know, you were saying that sometimes women say yes when their body is kind of saying no, and that repeated over time, it can be kind of damaging. I guess it's related also that men, they're in their head a lot, you know, but then when they see their partner maybe in the kitchen and they get this instant arousal sort of thing, it's the one thing that drops into their body, but it's probably not their whole body. It's just in their genitalia area. I know for me, like, I can just drop into some sort of like sexual desire within about 30 seconds. And then that might in the past have led to some form of impulsiveness or neediness in order to get the outcome. And, you know, like that dynamic in a relationship, I wonder if we could just pull that apart a little bit, because I think that's really important, in that sometimes she feels like she needs to fulfill his desire, but she may not be receiving what she needs in order to give that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I love that. The biggest step there is like taking responsibility for your own pleasure and arousal. Just because you're feeling arousal in your body, witnessing your partner, doesn't mean that it has to be put onto her. Nothing stopping you from walking away and actually doing some beautiful self-pleasure ritual yourself and doing what you want to do with that arousal, but putting it on her when she's not open and ready to receive. So I would say taking responsibility, spending your own self-pleasure practice, and even for the woman, start coming into your own body and start, you know, even that a 10 or 15 minute practice each day of connecting to your body, down-regulating. If you know that you want to connect with your partner that night, starting to take the steps during the day of like, how do I come more into my body? How do I slow down and come into my flow? And it's communicating as well. Like, if he comes to her and says, like, I'm feeling this arousal, this is what I'm wanting. Like, there's a communication piece around that. Like, I find even with my partner, I will say, okay, let me know, what is this providing for you? Like, are you wanting release? Are you wanting to feel orgasmic energy? Are you wanting to connect and just touch my body or have me touch yours? Is it you just want to stay close and talk? Like, what does this look like? And when I have that framework broken down, I can like say to him, okay, if it's providing this for you, then I'm willing to do this and this, but I don't want you to penetrate me. And I'm going to segue to that, because we have this whole, we all believe that sex is this penis in vagina sex. We need to throw that away, break it apart, and say that, all right, sex is us making out on the couch. Sex is us touching each other and fondling. Sex is us doing all these other stuff. Like, can we just call it intimacy, sex, throw it all in that container? So then there's not this huge focus on just penetration, and also taking away the foreplay. Like, if, can this all just be an act of connection with one another, right? So for a woman to feel safe to open her body, she needs her heart to be open first. So if a man is wanting to connect with her, it's like, how many times can you penetrate her heart in a day before wanting to penetrate her body? And also don't just work on penetrating her heart so you can penetrate the body, because she will know that.
Yes.
But like, it's really breaking it apart and having this open communication and, okay, well, I can agree to that. I know that my body's willing to do this and this, and I want to connect to you and love you. And you know, but this is a no. And sometimes, like you spoke to this, you know, the fight and flight and women feeling that freeze. Sometimes there might be a period of time where she just has to say her no. She just has to practice her no for months. And can a man hold her in that space to just find that until she repairs that fracture in her body to be able to know, okay, this is a true yes. And yes, I want to connect. But sometimes it's like it's repairing that relationship with your own body when you've overridden them and gaining that trust back in your own body first.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I feel like that's such a issue with a lot of our clients that we work with, is that real difference between, you know, intimacy and sex, you know, and they just like penetration, you know, because they just think it's all the same thing. Like, oh, well, that must lead to the penetration. But I think that's what we're trying to teach them more of, finding that safety within each other of it's okay just to cuddle and kiss on the couch, and that could be all that is. And being able to say no, because I think that's where, like you said, the woman feels like it's like a duty or an act of service that they have to just, I've got to just do this. Yeah. So we try and share a lot of that as well with our clients too. But it's nice that you brought that up, where we can just throw that out the window for now and just focus on connecting in a physical way, but doesn't have to lead to intercourse. Yeah.
And I would also say, like, taking the goal of orgasm. Because when you can take that goal away and actually just be there in the sensation and the pleasure and the moment, which may lead to an authentic orgasm, but when you're chasing it, it changes things. And with yourself, like when you're self-pleasuring yourself, if you're just doing it to chase that end goal, you miss out on so much in between.
Of course.
Isn't that so true? It's so true. And that has changed our dynamic, like sexually between the two of us, is that it's more the presence in the now and the slowing down and the breathing and really just being in that moment.
With our body.
With our body. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just... it's like a parallel in life, I think, as well. You know, we become so outcome focused. We become so focused on the future and how the future is going to bring me happiness. And we're just missing all these golden opportunities to sink in the present.
And it's short-term gratification. It's like, well, I want this and I want to feel this right now. Like they also say, like, it's like junk food diet. Like, if you're just going for the orgasm all the time, rather than what is nourishing to the body and connective and really nurturing, like, the body and the nervous system. So
I got to say, it's quite a big shift, like, for women, but I guess from my point of view, just representing the men, really, really difficult for guys to break the cycle that they've been in ever since they got given this amazing tool that they can just use whenever they want. And and I mean that, like, just even in masturbation, you know, and as a teenager. And it's shameful, it's to be hidden, it's so therefore I need to get to this point of ejaculation as fast as I can.
Yeah. Before mum comes
and be quiet and be tense and be rigid.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff too. So that experience repeated over and over again.
And I hear you speaking to the male version, but I think a lot of women out there can relate too.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. Teens and that track of, like, hard, fast friction and the tensing and the holding. Like, I think many of us have that pattern of. And there's no shame in that when you go and turn to that and, you know, enjoy it, celebrate it, but know that there is this other way. And the more you start exploring these other parts of your body and the slowing down, the more you'll increase your capacity to feel pleasure as well. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully the listeners out there are kind of just, you know, I think sometimes it's a big concept for a lot of people, because it is quite like we've been on this journey for a little while ourselves. So it is quite a big step, but I feel like there's just little pieces of gold that we can just kind of take from there, and whether or not you act on them right now, I just feel like the listeners can really just sit with this for a little while to process what we're saying, because I think it makes such a massive difference in your own body and your own self, and knowing what is good and what's not good and what you enjoy and what you don't, but then also obviously in a relationship and that connection it brings. So yeah, it's so important. Yeah, love that.
So a lot of couples that we work with, they're sitting in this space of comfort, and I would say staleness, you know, comes to mind. It's almost like you got this stalemate energy between you. You're kind of like probably more buddies, you know, but you still love each other. And I would say that a lot of them are calling out for spontaneity, for adventure, for pleasure again. And actually, I would say that some are using exits like pornography and other, you know, stimulus to get that outcome, that feeling, right, to sort of fulfill that void. But what would, I guess from your perspective, what would be the first step in bringing more sexual connectedness together and actually kind of approaching this topic for someone who's been together for a long time?
Yeah, it's a really tricky one. And there's a beautiful book written by Esther Perel, The Mating in Captivity, because she talks about in relationship, we look for comfort and we want connection and you want the security. But once you've got that, the, you know, the sexual aliveness starts to fade. So how do we bring that into relationship? And it would be things like still have your own hobbies and spending a bit of time apart. And if you are planning a date night, like get ready in separate houses or rooms or whatever, and just bring this pulling apart a little bit more, so there is that pulling back together. And I'm not sure how that flows through your work as well, because with a partner, I mean, you want to create safety and you want to create this really loving container and be coming together, but how can we create a little bit of this sexual friction between us as well? And whether it's like we're not allowed to touch each other for a week, I'm not sure if that does bring that pulling back together, or maybe we can't touch ourselves for a week and that creates that sexual excitement and friction back in. Like I know we talked about how do we communicate needs and desires to someone. There's a beautiful little game that was created by Betty Dobson, and it's called the 3-minute game. You can look it up online. There's a YouTube clip there for it as well. And it talks about the wheel of consent and how for someone to receive, that there has to be a giver, and we get really clear on who's the pleasure for. And by playing that game, you can set a timer, you can practice asking, I would like you to do this. The person can say no, they can renegotiate, and it gives this framework and this really I guess comfortable setting to start playing around with, like a little bit of excitement and a little bit of, oh, I'm going to ask for something maybe a little bit edgy that I wouldn't normally ask for. And and it has the framework of the 3 minutes, and practicing that might bring in a little bit of
that excitement. Sounds so good in terms of just giving permission for both partners to just kind of open up about this.
And this is for me, like it's so clear about, you know, when we're relating sexually, sometimes we don't stop and go, well, actually, who is this for? Because if this is for me, I'm going to tell you how I would like you to do that to me. But if it's for you, then I will allow you to, you know, explore my body how you would like, and knowing that I would speak up if you reach an edge that's like, that's hurting, or stop there, please. Like it's this permission piece in knowing that, yes, take pleasure from my body, or no, that's a no there. It just gives this little playful, like lightness to start practicing that. Yeah.
I love that. You know, like, I mean, it seems silly, but my analogy, but you know, like we know what we like to eat, right? Like I know that you don't like your eggs that way and I like my eggs this way, and I would never give you your eggs that way. But you know what I mean? Like we know that. Obviously it's different with our bodies and our sex, but we don't know what we like in our body, you know, like oh, I don't like you touching there, I do like you. I think we need to learn that again, you know, a little bit more, so we're able to express that and speak that, because I think there is also a block with not even knowing that, you know. But I feel like that would be such a nice little way, what you just shared, that 3-minute game of actually exploring that, like let's, why can't we try this and see if that does feel good, if it doesn't. And yeah, I love that.
I would also say too though, like when she tells you all the things she likes, don't just get a notepad out and write it all down, because it depends how she's feeling that day and what if her cycle she's in, and you know, it can change.
Yes. And that's so true, because what we like some days we might not like another, and that's totally okay. And I think that sometimes we get stuck in like, well, I can't change my mind now, you know, but it's, I give permission to women and to men to change minds. It's okay. Like what you liked yesterday, you might not like today. So that's okay.
Yeah.
That's like the biggest challenge for men is to drop into that understanding that change is such a constant with women. And, and I think that's why it becomes so difficult for us to read these things because we're so logical. Mm. It's like, you know, you gave me the map last week, remember?
Yeah.
And now you're changing all the rules.
Yeah.
And yeah, it can be really tricky for men, but
I need to speak.
That's where communication's vital because it's like just saying to her, what do you need? And do you need a moment to even find out? Because sometimes you might not know.
Yeah, it's so key, you know, and that's, you know, we obviously speak to about communication on a very broad sense, but communication in this space is such a whole different type of communication, I feel, because you need so much trust and understanding and safety in the relationship to be able to communicate in this way. So that's what we aim to help our couples with, but it's big, it's not little stuff. So
and I know we spoke about, you know, that comfortable staleness and how people might, you know, step into the connection again. And, you know, nothing drops you into your body more than connecting sexually or intimately with someone. And sometimes it is avoided because it's such an area of discomfort.
Mm.
Like I know as an embodiment practice, if I go and sit with my partner and I'm breathing into my body, it's such a space of like, all right, I'm feeling the sadness coming up now and I'm feeling the this and the that. And sometimes it's just holding that container and holding that presence for, you know, the feminine to unravel and be seen and express everything before you then can go into connection. Or so there can be this pulling back of like, oh, but I don't want to be seen. And, oh, it's feeling so uncomfortable. But it's also this commitment of like, am I committed to connecting to myself and am I committed to connecting to my partner?
So beautiful.
I think it just gets to this tipping point where it's like I can either dwell in this staleness or that comfortable nature of what that is, that bubble-wrapped, you know, scenario. Does it get to that point where I can't tolerate this anymore, which then ignites courage, you know, it ignites that courageous sort of speaking up about, hey, let's just, you know, open up this conversation about what you like. Like, what do you like? Because we're just assuming half the time that I think you like this because we've been doing this for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that would be really beneficial for couples as well to open up into that, you know, just a simple, you know, start with some questions and just tune into that. You know, what he or she is actually saying and if that's reciprocated. And most of the time I would say if you have the courage, normally the other person's probably thinking the same thing.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's an interesting dynamic. And one, I feel like you said, how long can you continue on that staleness for? Like when do you get to the point where like, actually there's so much more, you know, beautiful experiences and connection that comes from having that openness and that understanding of each other's desires and pleasure needs. So yeah, I encourage couples, if you're listening, like, yeah, don't be brave, take that next step because it is so rich and juicy and valuable and pleasurable and all the good stuff when you're with your couple, when you're with your partner in that space. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So what are some of the best parts about, I guess, your job and how you facilitate? What are some of the favorite things that you see emerge from your work?
Because I have worked mostly with women, I've worked with a handful of couples just recently, which is exciting. But I would say the amount of women that say to me in a session doing body work that it just feels so safe. Like I've never had a space like this held to just feel so safe. And that is really heart opening. That always feels like such a gift to be holding that space. Seeing the differences in women's bodies and the beauty in that diversity is amazing. And the other thing that comes to mind is working with a couple the other day when the man was sharing that an experience which he was saying was like, it wasn't a highlight of the week. It was one of the really challenging things. And when he shared it, like the partner and I just looked at each other and we were like, oh my gosh, that's so beautiful. Like it was such a vulnerable piece that he was sharing. That's like, that's what the women want. They want to see this vulnerability in men. And so I think it's just seeing vulnerability. It's seeing vulnerability. And gosh, it's almost like when you see someone be vulnerable, you're looking right into their soul. And
You know, it's so interesting you said that, and thank you for sharing, because I think for Amy and I know we mirror the same thing in the work that we do, is that it's when that vulnerability opens up, it's sort of like this uncracking of, oh, I see you and you see me now, you know, in this moment. And all of the stuff, the resentment, all of the issues that have built up and been kind of like a tumor between them for years just disintegrates and melts away. And the tricky part, I guess the challenge is that, you know, for women and for men especially, like it's to be vulnerable, we see that as kind of like surrendering or being weak. And, you know, when you're in a partnership with somebody, that perceived strength of invulnerability is kind of taught at a young age, you know, from our, normally from men, from our dads and from society as well. So to be vulnerable is so damn important in unlocking that new depth of connection for couples for in our work. And I can see that it's mirrored exactly in a, you know, just in a different way, just more, you know, in a sexual way or in a physical way as well.
Yeah. I always tell women our vulnerability is our strength. It's where our power lies.
Yeah. We need to change that story. Hey, that's so important.
For
ourselves. Been amazing. Should we wrap that up?
Yeah. It's been a really nice talk. And I think for me, I guess we live so far away from each other, but I would just be in a heartbeat booking in, you know, for us two to kind of dive deeper into some of the stuff that we would like to dive into, to maybe unfurl some of that, the layers back again even more. And just for the listeners who are interested in maybe following you or connecting with you, what's the best way that they can do that?
Yeah. So I have a website that's being put together as we speak. And it's, I imagine you'll attach it to show notes, but
yeah, well.
www.kimberlyvitarose.com. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook under the same name. I offer online sessions as well. So it is an option to do like telehealth conferencing type work, but also there is an association of somatic body workers, and maybe we can attach the website to the show notes as well, because you can look up for practitioners in your area also.
We'll most definitely be doing that. So thank you once again. I'm sure the listeners got a heap out of that, and we'll look forward to maybe at some stage doing another podcast, but this has been wonderful. So
thank you so much for your time, Kimberly. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. I'm so excited to be here and connect and share some of the wisdom. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you.